Well, before I start, I have a confession, and it's kind of an embarrassing thing. I just want to be real serious with you right now, and it's really hard for me to say, okay? But this confession comes as one that doesn't want to desire things of the world, but fell into the world's trap. Oh man, this is hard. I've done it. I have started watching Hallmark Christmas movies. I fell into the trap. Some of you were worried, weren't you? I know. Men, I'm sorry, men. I've fallen into the trap of not only watching Hallmark Christmas movies, but liking Hallmark Christmas movies. It's not even Thanksgiving, I know. I blame my wife. But Bridge Cities, guess what? Every single day, this world that we live in, it tries to disciple you. Now, we use that discipling word a lot in church world, but sometimes we need to use it in the world. The word disciple. This world tries to disciple our hearts. It teaches us what to desire, what to chase after, what to celebrate. Through media, through this culture that we live in, and even through the crooked values of some workspaces. This world whispers, love me, serve me, worship me. Now, I want us to get our Bibles out because here at Bridge Cities, we love our Bible. We love the Word of God. And so if you don't have a Bible here this morning and if you would like to read with me, then the ushers have Bibles for you. Just raise your hand. They'll supply one for you. But we're going to be in 1 John. And we're going to hear what John has to say about this chaotic world that not only were they living in that time, but we are living in today. So go to 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to begin with verse 15, 1 John 2:15. And this is what verse 15 says. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Man, those are some powerful words right there. This is not a word of judgment, but it's a word of encouragement. We got to figure that out here. We have to get that into our heads. Today, I want us to see through 1 John a calling that you have if you are a Jesus follower, if you have confessed with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and rose again for you, you follow him. If you are a Jesus follower, a calling is placed on your life. And the Apostle John knew this. Now, John was a disciple of Jesus, an eyewitness to everything Jesus did, his miracles, his teachings to the crowd, to the multitude, his words to the religious leaders. He was an eyewitness to what happened at the Last Supper, to what happened in the garden, to what happened when Jesus was crucified on that cross. He saw it all, and he saw the risen Lord and Savior. This apostle, John now, an eyewitness of Jesus, is talking here in chapter 2 about three truths that are on our lives as Jesus followers, that are their callings on our life. And these callings of truth, man, they go against everything this chaotic world has to offer. The first one, if you're a note taker, write this down. The first one is this. the truth of guard your heart. Guard your heart. You belong to God. That's a truth right there that some of us need to hear, that you guard your heart because you belong to the Most High God. John begins his passage not just with a warning, but with an affirmation. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to go to 12, verse 12 now. And this is what it says. It says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing you to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Verse 14. It says, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. What great words right there, affirmation words. I'm writing to you, little children, those that are first into the faith. I'm writing to you because your sins, remember, are forgiven. And it's not just for you, but it's by his name's sake, by Jesus Christ, that they're forgiven. I'm writing to you, fathers, meaning those that are a little bit more mature in the faith. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, and nowadays, young women. I'm writing to you, those that are not quite yet completely Christ-centered, but you know enough. And be strong in that, because you know that God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Before John tells us what not to love in the world, he reminds us who we are. See, you are forgiven. You are known. I think some of you need to hear that today. That Jesus knows you. And you are strong. The first step in resisting the world is remembering that we already belong to someone greater. This chaotic world, guess what? It wants our hearts. This chaotic world wants to disciple us. It wants to disciple your affections. But your heart already has an owner. I love what Proverbs 4:23 says. It says, above all else, guard your what? Heart. For everything you do flows from it. Above anything else, guard your heart. Because everything you do, every word you think and say, every thought you have, comes from that. And it flows out. I remember when my dad, I was about 15 years old. It was the summer before I turned 16. And my dad's like, okay, you want to earn some money for a car? I'm like, yeah, how do I do that? I want to buy a car. All right, you have to pick weeds in the bean field. And we had a lot, hundreds of acres of pinto beans. And I'm like, okay, what field? And he's like, okay, we have a 20-acre patch of pinto beans that I want you to weed. And I'm like, by myself? He's like, yeah, you want the money? I'm like, yes, Dad, I want the money. And so I went early in the morning. I went out to the bean field. My dad's like, okay, what you do is you just hoe around the plant, make sure that you get all the weeds out and so that they don't choke off the beans. I'm like, yeah, Dad, I got it. And the beans were pretty, I mean, they were higher. They weren't as big as a bean grows, but they were pretty mature. And I'm like, okay, this is easy. I can just fake myself around, you know, and leave a few, no problem. Well, I'm into it about 2 hours trying to hoe, and I've probably done, I don't know, 3 rows of 20 acres. And I'm like, this is gonna take forever. And I didn't wanna do it anymore. So I laid down in the field and I said, okay, the beans are gonna cover me and I'm gonna hide. No problem. So I lay down and guess what? I fall asleep. I fall asleep in the bean field and then I wake up to something going at my ear. And I'm like, what is that? A gopher was right by my head, nibbling at my ear. It scared me to death. I mean, I jumped up out of that bean field and I started running. And guess what? That stupid gopher chased me out of the bean field. Now, what was embarrassing is my dad was sitting in the pickup watching this whole thing. And he's like, what were you running from? And I'm like, there was a gopher running after me. He goes, well, that's what you get for being lazy and not picking weeds. Think of your heart like a garden. If you don't guard it, if you don't weed around it, then the weeds of pride, of greed, of comparison will grow up. And if you just pick a few and say, oh, that's good enough, those weeds are gonna multiply over and over again. But when you keep it cultivated, when you keep it fresh from all weeds by the love of God and the love of others, and you cultivate it by prayer and by scripture reading, guess what? It becomes a place where the fruit of the Spirit can grow and multiply. Go to Galatians, if you have your Bibles, go to Galatians now, chapter 5. And I want to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. See, these fruits, man, they thrive in a heart that is fully for Jesus Christ, fully in love with God, doing his great commandment. They thrive. And this is what it says in Galatians 5:16. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Does any of this sound familiar in the world today? Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Those are some great words of wisdom right there. And we can all see the reality in the world that we live in those words. We see this. I mean, every time your phone buzzes, the worldly noise starts happening. Status updates. Thumbs up on Facebook, hearts on Instagram, likes on TikTok. How many people have liked my post? Success. How much money am I gaining? What do I look like? How's my appearance? Every time that happens, every time your phone buzzes with a notification, I want you to whisper to yourself, my heart belongs to Jesus and not to this world. Remember, the love of the world pushes out the love of the Father. But the love of the Father, guess what? It drives out the things of this world. So guard your heart. You've heard that before, church, but I want to say it again. Guard your heart because you belong to God. The second truth that I think John shows us in chapter 2 here goes against everything this chaotic world has to offer. And this is the truth here. You have to resist the world's discipleship. To resist the world and what it teaches you. What does discipleship mean? It's the process of learning from and following a teacher, particularly through the intentional act of a person learning from or being transformed by the teacher. 1 John 2, we're gonna go to 15 again. 1 John 2:15 says this, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Verse 17, and the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides, what does it say? Forever. Forever. The world has a three-point message for you. And the points are this: desire, possessions, and pride. I mean, we see it in the news today. We see it in social media. We see it in the protests that happen, the violence, the chaos that erupts around us. In the world we live in right now, the world says, if you want it, take it. If you see it, chase it. If you achieve it, boast in it. But the world says, but the word of God, guess what it says? It says this world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Church, the world is temporary, but our soul is eternal. A competing discipleship this world is having for you. Making no mistake, the world wants to disciple you. Every commercial you see, every scroll of social media, every narrow message says, this is what matters. Whatever you want, whatever you think, however your identity you want to be, boy, girl, tree, squirrel, whatever it is, that is success. And you will finally be happy if you go after that. This is what happiness is found in. But I'm saying that's not what the Word of God says. Romans 2, verse 12 tells us this. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. C.S. Lewis said this once. He says, we are half-hearted creatures. We're half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and with sex and ambition when infinitely joy is offered us, right? Like an ignorant child, he says, who wants to go and make mud pies in the slum. Because we cannot imagine, he goes on saying, we can't imagine what is meant to the offer, is meant by the offer, I mean, by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We're far too easily pleased. We're okay with mud pies when there's something else greater out there. We must not let the world define our joy when the Father offers us eternal delight in Christ Jesus. But remember, resisting this chaotic world, man, it is not about withdrawing from people. It's not about rejecting. Let me say this again. Remembering that resisting this chaotic world is not about withdrawing from people. It's about rejecting its values. You can't be in the world. And think that you're okay with following what the world wants. You can be in this world, but not of this world. You can love your neighbor without loving their idols. Ask yourself today, actually every day, what is discipling my desires right now? Is it scripture or social media? Is it worship or worry? Is it the cross or competition or comparison? Is it 6 or 7? Some of you got that. But remember, resisting this chaotic world, it's not about withdrawing from people. No, every day we must choose our teacher. And that teacher will shape our lives and our love. The third thing that the Apostle John talks about and goes against this everything this chaotic world has to offer is this. The third truth, abide in the anointing. Abide in the anointing. John closes the chapter 2 by reminding believers of something extraordinary. So we go to chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 18. And it says this, it says, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy One, and you all have a knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us. Eternal life. I write these things to you, but about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you above everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. That's a lot of verses. What is that saying? It's saying that in this world, there's things that are going against Jesus Christ, Antichrist. And some of them come from the church, saying that I'm doing one thing, but I'm actually gonna do the next thing over here. I'm saying this, but my actions does this. And they're leaving the church, and they're trying to bring people with them, saying, it's okay if you believe in all ways, because everything leads to God. No, it's okay if you wanna do this. No, it's not what the Word of God says. But John is saying, even back then, there's people trying to deceive other people, even in their church. And he says, those are antichrists. Those are lies. And discern this, because you have him in you. Abide in that anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then we go to verse 20 again. What does that say? It says, but you have been anointed, right? By the Holy One. He's talking about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The divine anointing that empowers us to discern truth, endure trials, remain faithful to Jesus. The anointing keeps you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, guess what? Dwells in you. You don't have to navigate this world alone. You don't have to. 1 John 2:27, what does it say? It says, but the anointing that you received from him, man, it abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. You have no need that this world should disciple you. But as he has anointed teaching, as he is anointing teaching, has everything for you. Everything. And it's true. And it's no lie. Just as it was taught. Man, abide in him. Abide in him. That doesn't mean you don't need pastors and teachers. No, it means that ultimately the Spirit of the Most High God conforms truth in our hearts. A.W. Tozer said it this way. He said, the world is perishing for lack of the knowledge of God. And the church is famishing for what? For want of his presence. Tell you what, I long for the presence of God every single day. And I hope you do too. I want him close to me every day because I have all this in the world coming at me, shouting, follow me, do this, lust after this, desire this. But I want his presence surrounding me like a warm blanket on a cold day. Church, we need more than inspiration. We need his presence. When the world's lying and it's surrounding us with all its lies, man, stay close to the Holy Spirit. When false teachers or empty philosophies whisper, there's another way. You don't have to do it that way. You don't have to think that way. And stay firm in what you know. Jesus is the Christ, the one that suffered, the one that died, the one that rose again for you. So abide in him. Let your roots go deep in him. Because storms are coming. No way around it. Every single one of you will have storms in life. You might be going through a storm right now. But those who abide will not be moved. Our affections belong to Christ. John's message is not about legalism. It's about love. To love not the world is to love Jesus more. The world says, follow your heart. Jesus says, follow me. The world says, chase what you desire. Jesus says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The world says, this life is all there is. Jesus says, whoever does the will of God abides forever. So, church, guard your heart. Because you belong to God. Resist the world. Resist the world's discipleship and be transformed by his word. Abide in his anointing and walk every day in the Spirit. And when you do, you'll find that your affections no longer are scattered among the things of this chaotic world. But they're rooted deep in the one who gave it all. His life to make you his own. There's an old hymn that sums it all up, what I'm saying today. It sums everything up. And the word says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look fully in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus is the answer to everything. Jesus loves you so much, and he knows you by name. And he died on a cross so that you may have life. And you don't have to be part of this chaotic world that eats everything out of you and wants nothing but nothing but your desire, your lust, and it will leave you nothing but pain and hurt. But because of what Jesus did for you, man, there's hope and there's glory and it's everlasting. And you'll never walk alone because of what he did on that cross.